Playing with Dwayne Allman he was a fantastic interpreter. He really studied and made a school of the Albert King and Freddie King and the great blues players. Actually, a lot of people probably don't realize it, but Dwayne used to tell me a lot that he was influenced by harmonica players more than he was guitar players. His slide playing, Dwayne used to profess over and over to me, he said, man, slide playing ain't about guitar, it's about harmonica. You know, you got to think like a harp player, and it makes a hell of a lot of sense. Now, I've never heard anybody that plays slide say that, but if you listen to it, it is more like a harmonica. So he had a very unique approach to music to begin with, and he looked at it inside out and outside in and sideways and everywhere. He really studied it. As opposed to somebody like me, I'm influenced by music. I kind of soak all the players in and then let them come out. But Dwayne was more analytical. He would come up with a Robert Johnson lick and exclaim, like, I know where Elmore got this lick now. This is it. Ain't fooling nobody. He'd say, look at this. Now, this is the way I do it. And he had a lot of fun with analyzing the greats, their playing styles. And I think that's what made his style then unique.
I can tell you all something. This date will be forever ingrained in my mind. And we've talked about this many times on the Mark After Dark show. But on October 20th, 1977, an airplane crashed into a Mississippi swamp, killing Ronnie Van Zant, guitarist Steve Gaines, backup singer Cassie Gaines, road manager Dean Kilpatrick, pilot Walter McCrae, and co-pilot William Gray, injuring the remaining members of the Lynyrd Skynyrd Band. Now, this tragic event is always special to my heart. That's how come we've talked about it so many times. So tonight, as usual, we pay tribute to the memory of Ronnie Van Zant, Steve and Cassie Gaines, Alan Collins, who passed away on January 23rd, 1990, bassist Leon Wilkerson, who died on July 27th, 2001, and to one of the greatest piano players that ever lived, Billy Powell, who died on January 28th, 2009. Original and founding drummer Bob Burns, who died on April 3rd, 2015, along with one of the greatest riff makers of all times, who came up with Lynyrd Skynyrd's biggest classic hit, Sweet Home Alabama, Ed King, who passed away on August 22nd, 2018. And finally, founding bass player Larry Jungstrom, who passed away on October 6, 2019. And we will be discussing him in the third hour of the show and his contribution to 38 Special as well. Now, Lynyrd Skynyrd reformed in 1987 for a reunion tour with Ronnie's brother, Johnny Van Zant, as lead vocalist. And they continue to tour and record with co-founding member Gary Rossington, the band's sole continuous member. Now, Rolling Stone magazine ranked Lynyrd Skynyrd at number 95 on the list of the 100 greatest artists of all time. And for those of you that have been listening to the Mark After Dark show since day one, you all know my opinion of Rolling Stone magazine. They know nothing about rock and roll. And for them to rank Lynyrd Skynyrd at number 95 on a list of 100 greatest artists of all times, they don't know what they're talking about. Skynyrd were the greatest American rock and roll band. They rank higher, in my opinion, than Aerosmith, than any other American rock and roll band. That classic band should have been ranked a lot lower on the list, in my opinion. Now, Lynyrd Skynyrd was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on March 13, 2006. And to date, the band has sold more than 28 million records alone in the United States of America. The classic lineup have released six studio albums between 1973 up until 1977, with one great live album, one more from the road, and 23 compilation albums. Second Helping was the band's second studio album, released on April 15th, 1974, where it reached number 12 on the Billboard album charts. The album featured the band's biggest hit single, Sweet Home Alabama, which reached number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100 charts in August of 1974, as well as drummer Bob Burns' final recordings. And Swamp Music, off of it, describes the music on tonight's episode as we lead into this, the second hour of the Mad Mark After Dark show. So for each one of you out there that have been listening, every October I do a full-fledged tribute to the mighty Lynyrd Skynyrd Band, and I hope you all listen to that one as well as this one. But moving on into the next section of music and going back to late 1969, the Eric Quincy Tape Band was formed in Corpus Christi, Texas by Tommy Carlos and Donnie McCormick. They released their self-titled debut album in 1969, simply entitled Eric Quincy Tate. Now, this band was yet another group managed by legendary Bill Walden of Capricorn Records, where they were eventually signed to the label. And of course, we spoke about Phil Walden in the last hour and how he managed the Allman Brothers Band and his work that he's done with so many other bands. Phil Walden is a legend in his own right. Now, they recorded their first album with producers Tony Joe White, Jerry Wexler from Atlantic Records, and legendary producer Tom Dowd. And we all know Tom Dowd's work with Lynyrd Skynyrd, as well as Ray Charles and many, many others in his lifetime. In 1975, Eric Quincy Tate released EQT, Honky Tonk Man, and No Rollin' Boogie. The opening tracks just about say it all about this band and is a perfect lead-in into the next section of music. Unfortunately, this band never got the attention they so rightly deserve. But before we lead in, there's some sad news once again. Donnie McCormick passed away on January 11, 2009. A very sad day, in my opinion. He was a major loss to the Southern rock genre and will always have a place here on the Mark After Dark. So we're going to lead off showing some attention to the mighty, the one and only Eric Quincy Tate Band. Take a listen, and we'll certainly be back.
Tell me why can't your daddy, tell me why can't your daddy come home? Thank you.
was a young boy about 12 or 13 years old. My daddy used to tell me that I could go down by the railroad tracks and put my ear to the ground. Hear that train rolling for miles on down the line. And I believed him, so every evening right after supper time, I'd go down to the railway station and wait for that old number 9.
To drink that whiskey. Yeah, we all had to turn. Please welcome Ruby Starr and Gray Ghost.
Mm-hmm. the Southland 20 some odd years ago. Well, I left home for the first time, honey, when I was 4 years old.
I'm a freeborn man. Home is on my back. I know every inch highway, every foot of back road, every mile of railroad track.
I got a lady in Cincinnati, a woman in San Antonio. I always loved the girl next door, honey, every place was home.
I'm a freeborn man. Home is on my back. I know every inch of highway, every foot of back road, every mile of railroad track.
We'll be right back.
You know, one of my absolute favorites is Ruby Starr, who paved the way for many superstars to come out of the Southern rock movement. Now, she joined the band Ruby Jones in 1969. Subsequently, in 1971, they were signed to Curtis Mayfield's label, Curtum Records, and recorded their self-titled debut. Now, shortly after that album's release, Black Oak Arkansas's lead vocalist, Jim Dandy Mangrum, caught a concert in Evansville, Indiana, at a club called The Golden Record, where Ruby was performing. Now, all of a sudden, he asked her on the spot to join his band. And at this point, she assumed the stage name Ruby Starr. She toured with Black Oak Arkansas for several years at the height of their success. Starr was featured on their 1973 Top 30 single, Jim Dandy. Well, in 1974, she began touring on her own again, this time as Ruby Starr and Grey Ghost, and released an album in 1975 on Capitol Records. Her second album, Scene Stealer, also was on Capitol Records, and it was released in 1976. During that time, Ruby continued to open for Black Oak, Arkansas, as well as many other acts such as Black Sabbath, the Edgar Winter Band, and Ruby also toured with Blackfoot from 1977 to 1978. Her third and final album for Capitol Records, Smoky Places, was released in 1977. Now, tragically, Ruby Starr passed away from brain cancer on January 14th, 1995, at the young age of 45 years old. And I'll tell you, I'll never forget hearing about the news of her death. It was so sad that that day, I watched tons of music videos with Ruby Starr and listened to a lot of Black Oak and cried all day. It was just like the saddest thing. And to pay tribute to the late, great Ruby Starr and her band Grey Ghost, they were touring on their self-titled debut album, and Burning Whiskey was played to a packed house on September 11th, 1975, at the Winterlands Ballroom in San Francisco, California. Now, drummer Lewis Ross put together a group of musicians called Fox in the summer of 1969. And after relocating from Mobile, Alabama to Macon, Georgia, the band became known as Wet Willie. They first became known to concertgoers as the opening act for the Allman Brothers Band back in 1971 and still perform to this very day. The band has produced 7 studio albums between 1971 up until 1979. Well, in 1975, they released Dixie Rock, their 4th studio album. And the core members during that period were Jimmy Hall on lead vocals, harmonica and saxophone, Jimmy's brother Jack Hall on bass, John David Anthony on keyboards, Rick Hirsch on guitar, Lewis Ross on drums and percussion. The title track just about fits in so perfectly into tonight's episode. But anyway, moving on, paving their way through the disgusting, sticky, human heat of Tampa, Florida, was the electric sounds of the official 3-guitar army, the Outlaws, which originally formed back in 1967 and are generally considered to be a big part of the Southern rock genre. The classic lineup has released well over 9 studio albums between 1975 and 1994. Now, Freeborn Man, from their May 1976 second studio album, Lady in Waiting, just about says it all. Anyway, unfortunately, talking about the Outlaws, on February 7th, 1995, founding guitarist Billy Jones passed away. Now, he was a major contributor to their success, so it was so shocking and sad when I heard about his untimely death. But I also got to meet lead vocalist and guitarist Huey Thomason back in 2000, backstage at a show in Nashville, Tennessee. And at that point in time, he was playing with the Lynyrd Skynyrd Tribute Band, and Huey also released a handful of records with them, including 1997's 20, which was a tribute to the 20th anniversary of the Skynyrd plane crash. And a couple of years later, in 1999, he recorded the Edge of Forever album. Now, both of these were excellent endeavors, and these recordings were done alongside another legendary figure from Southern rock, Ricky Medlock, formerly of Blackfoot. And I've often considered this lineup to be a classic for the tribute band. And I remember talking to Huey Thomason backstage. He was quite a big man. I would tell him how much I loved the Outlaws, and he smiled at me, and I'll never forget him. Now, Huey Thomason left Gary Rossington and Johnny Van Zant in 2005 and reformed the Outlaws. Ironically, it was the 30th anniversary of their first ever release. Now, seeing Huey Thomason on that tour, he looked so damn happy and energized and so full of life. But unfortunately, another loss to this genre. Huey Thomason passed away on September 9th, 2007. I remember going down to Jacksonville, Florida in 2008 and talking all about Huey Thomason to all the Skynyrd fans and how much we all loved him. What a great loss to the genre and to music in general. But moving on, the band Point Blank hailed from Irving, Texas, and they formed in 1974 and recorded six albums between 1976 and 1982. Lone Star Fool, off of their self-titled debut studio album, fits in very nicely. And closing off the last section of music, Ram Jam was formed in New York City back in 1977, and the band consists of Bill Bartlett on guitar and lead vocals, Howie Arthur Beauvau on bass, Pete Charles on drums, and Mike Scavino on lead vocals. Jimmy Santoro, who toured with the band in support of their debut album, joined in on guitar. Now, the band has released two studio albums, a self-titled release in 1977 and Portrait of an Artist as a Young Ram in 1978. Their biggest hit to date was their cover version of the 1939 Lead Belly classic Black Betty. Anyway, leading into the next section of music, Molly Hatchet was formed by guitarist Dave Lubeck in Jacksonville, Florida back in 1971. And the original lineup featured the great Danny Joe Brown on lead vocals, Dave Lubeck on guitar, Steve Holland on guitar, Dwayne Rollins on guitar, Banner Thomas on bass, and Bruce Crump on drums. Now, this version of the band recorded their self-titled debut on September 1st, 1978, and Flirtin' with Disaster followed in 1979 before Danny Joe Brown left the group to form his own band, the Danny Joe Brown Band. He was replaced by vocalist Jimmy Farrar, who recorded their third studio album, Beatin' the Odds, in September of 1980, and followed that with Take No Prisoner in November of 1981. Now, Danny Joe Brown returned in 1983 with the addition of Riff West on bass, replacing Banner Thomas, and Barry Stevenson Borden on drums, replacing Bruce Crump. And I'll tell you, No Guts, No Glory, the album that followed that he came back with, was just about as amazing as anything else. But getting to some sad news once again, from 2005 through 2020, there have been a wave of deaths of former Molly Hatchet members, starting with the legendary Danny Joe Brown, who died on March 10th, 2005. Guitarist Dwayne Rollins died at his home in St. Augustine, Florida on June 19th, 2006, at the age of 53 years old. Bass guitarist Riff West passed away on November 19th, 2014, at the age of 64 years old. Drummer Bruce Crump died on March 16, 2015, at the age of 57 years old. Original bass guitarist Banner Thomas passed at the young age of 62 years old on April 10, 2017. And founder and leader of the band, Dave Lubeck, died of a heart attack on September 2, 2017, at the age of 66 years old. And Jimmy Farrar, who I loved as lead singer, who fronted the band from 1980 to 1982, passed away on October 29, 2018, at 67 years old. Steve Holland, who was the last surviving original member of the band's classic lineup, passed on Sunday, August 2nd, 2020. So tonight, we pay tribute to the original and one and only Molly Hatchet Band. But before we get into the music, and I know I've gone on too long, I have a big problem with the fraudulent version of this band. While in its current lineup includes none of the founding members, Bobby Ingram, who was Danny Joe Brown's guitar player in the Danny Joe Brown Band, and who joined Molly Hatchet in the late 1980s, recording the double live album and Lightning Strikes Twice album in 1989, bought the Molly Hatchet trademark and copyright soon after Danny Joe Brown's departure. Now, Ingram has been using that name, recording and touring with it. I'll tell you all something, and I don't tell anybody this. If you're going to pay a ticket to see this band, this is a poor man's version of the real Molly Hatchet. This is not Molly Hatchet. Not to take anything away from vocalist Phil McCormick, who passed away on April 27, 2019. There was no replacing Danny Joe Brown, even though he's a great sound alike. I'm sure even he knew that. And it always disappoints me every time they put out an album and they use that name, Molly Hatchet, on the album. I mean, those albums are pretty good to some degree. But let's go back to the original and the one and only Molly Hatchet, and leading into the next section of music. Now, Big Apple was originally from their self-titled debut, but it was recorded for a live radio broadcast called Live at the Agora Ballroom in Atlanta, Georgia, on April 20th, 1979. Now, following up that song, Silver and Sorrow is a demo version which was issued on a remastered version of Flirtin' with Disaster in 2001. Penthouse Pauper, off of their third album, Beatin' the Odds, was released in September of 1980, and it features vocalist Jimmy Farrar on lead vocals, along with Joyce Baby Jean Kennedy of Mother's Finest sharing vocals, Respect Me in the Morning, off of their fourth studio album, Take No Prisoners. Also, make a note of this. It also features Katie Sagal, Peggy Bundy, for God's sakes, as a backup singer in it. So let's all take a listen, and we'll be back.
We'd like to break out another tune off the record for you. This is a song we wrote for them folks up in New York City. We figured we'd say how to do it. It's a tune we call the Big Apple. I feel like shaking it. Go on, dance a little bit. Hell. Strutting high stuff.
your way with a load of red-hot rock and roll. This Friday night, St. Louis Kiel Auditorium rocks again with the Hatchet, Molly Hatchet. Casey welcomes. Molly Hatchet, put some cut in your strut, some roll in your stroll. Get set for the real thing, pure, high energy, smoking, rock and rolling. Molly Hatchet, this Friday night with special guest Shooting Star. On sale now at Backstage Records, Spectrum Co-op, Lame Duck, Kiel, Box Officer, Dial Tix 569-0500, a contemporary production. Molly Hatchet, Shooting Star, and Max Webster.
word is out. The crop is in. A huge new shipment of pure ZZ Top.
You didn't have to love me like you did, but you did, but you did. And I thank you.
The word is out.
That's right.
The crop is in.
That's right.
The crop is ZZ Top.
That's right.
And their first new album in nearly 3 years. Digueo, all new on Warner Brothers Records and Tapes.
Thank you. We'd like to welcome our friends and guests tonight. Special night. Special because we're in New York City. Feels good to me. This band's been together 11 years. Some of you guys followed us a long time, I think. Played with a lot of good musicians in our times, a lot of different groups. One group in particular. This is done in the tradition of Southern rock. We'd like to dedicate this next song to some friends of ours. Ronnie Van Zant and Lynyrd Skynyrd Band. What y'all say? Thank you.
in a room all alone, waiting by the telephone, with a tear in his eye and a pen in his hand. So begins the diary of a working man. He's been a poor man all his life, and just when things were going right, some stranger takes his woman away. He doesn't know if he'll see, oh, another day. Oh, another day. Working.